Frank and Evelyn Jordan, ministering on Holy Spirit. If you need some pens, I've got some extra ones here. Okay, Pastor Jordan.
Heavenly Father, open our hearts today and bless us and give us the unction of the Spirit that the adversary cannot gainsay or resist. For your service into our hearts and bless us and help us to say the things that we say that will be very beneficial for this people. In Jesus' name I pray. Looks like we're going to be spending some time today. Is this your first time on a treadmill?
No.
Okay, and the first mention of the Holy Spirit is in Genesis 1 and 2.
If someone has that, they'd like to read it for us.
And the earth was without form. Well, you want verse 1 and 2?
Chapter 1, verse 2.
Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Now that is the first mention, as far as I know, in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. Let us clarify something. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must be in spirit and in truth. Okay? That's John 4:28. It might not be written on yours, but I'm just giving you the word of the scripture. The second mention of the Holy Spirit is when the Lord made the man, and he was lifeless, and there was no life in him. And then God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul.
Hallelujah.
Why did he breathe into his nostrils? So he could smell chicken frying.
And that's Genesis 2:7. If someone has that, they'd like to read that. Genesis 2:7.
Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person.
Okay, that was the second time. Matthew 3:11, where John said, I baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Okay, Matthew 3:11.
Matthew 3:11. Now, the word ghost is an old English word,
right.
So we know it means spirit, Holy Spirit. So every time you see the word ghost, Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Because the word ghost is an old English word, and must just be from comparison. Okay.
Let them read Matthew 3:11.
Matthew 3:11.
Someone has that. Matthew 3:11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that come after me is mightier than I,
whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and
with fire. Mm. Okay.
Jesus closed the church down for remodeling.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Now we know the beginning of the church was on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they thought they were drunk. Now, the initial evidence of speaking in tongues was that was the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. It's not the only witness. It's not the only thing. The next one is, He shall give you power to witness unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. That was Jerusalem, home, Samaria, a neighbor, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth.
In Luke 24:49.
And behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye have be endued with the power from on high.
Church began at Pentecost.
149.
Huh?
Yes.
Number B on the four, don't you? The church began at the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, the church began at the day of Pentecost. I said that, you know, Acts 2 and 4.
Okay, now turn to Revelations.
Now, the church will end in Revelation 4 and 1.
Wow.
Okay, you have Revelation 4 and 1 and Revelation 4 and 3, Revelation 21, 1 through 7.
Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's
2 and 3, Dolores.
Ah?
2 and 3.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Where are
we going? We're closing the church for the rapture. Right here, just wait. Okay. Okay. That's still right there.
And he that sit was as to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and 3 was a rainbow round about the throne, its sight like unto the emerald.
Okay, someone have Revelation
4?
No. Okay.
No, 1 through 3.
Okay, we've got Revelation 21, 1 through 7.
Did we read the catching away of the church?
That's where they're reading now. Okay. Revelation 21, 1 through 7.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful, dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heavy throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
There will no more be death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Yes.
He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new.
Yes, he
then
is.
He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I left a room by your scripture reading in case you want to write some notes down.
Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Yes.
All right, number five. Mark 16:17.
I'm going to say something before, before we go to that. Listen, folks, I am an ordained minister of the South Carolina Pentecostal Holiness Church, but I'll never receive Pentecost. Pentecost is just a Jewish holiday. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire.
Hallelujah.
Hold on, my gosh. I found it. Oh. What's these things, brother?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Y'all excuse me, sometimes the preacher comes out.
Amen.
Preach.
Yes, he will.
God loves it.
Well, we're going to five, number five.
Number five.
These signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? There's five signs here that's going to follow.
My God.
Five signs is going to follow. Mark 16:17. Cast out devils.
Someone have that?
Mark 16:17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone else like to read that has not read yet.
These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay, the speaking in tongues is going to be Acts 2:4, Acts 2:16, Acts 2:26, Acts 10:4-6, Acts 19:6. All of these are speaking in other tongues.
Well, it's about strength of servants too.
Huh?
Yeah. Someone have Acts 2.
2:4, 2:4, verse 16 and verse 26.
Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Glory to God. Okay, the next one is Acts 10:46 and then Acts 19:6.
Would you like to read that one, Acts 10:46? For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God.
Amen.
Then Peter declared, that's it.
Okay, Acts 19:6.
Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me add a little something here. On number five, these signs will follow the believers that cast out devils. And you better live a life where you can cast them out, because you can come in contact with them every day.
Oh, hallelujah.
Speak the new tongues. Take up serpents accidentally. Don't go around playing with snakes. Like when Paul, when he was filling the fire and the snake, and they say, oh, this is a sin man. This man has committed a great sin. God's going to strike him dead. Boy, what happened to Paul?
He didn't die.
Shook it off. It was like a vitamin for him.
Yeah. Slung them off.
He cast them out.
Right. Drink any deadly thing.
So you can't, if you accidentally grab a snake.
Right.
Not like these rattlesnake handlers.
Yeah.
Mm. When the Bible said they was in a service town one time and them snake handlers come in there and run around the snakes, he said, give mine to Geraldine. Hey, and then he said,
reckon we want to know.
Darling, look around and see where the back door is. She said, I done looked and there ain't one. She said, working where they want one.
Where they want one, we're going to make one.
Also, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Kerosene and sugar. Anybody know anything about kerosene and sugar?
I heard about that.
Nobody not as old as I am?
Yeah, I heard that.
Huh?
Say it again, sir. I'm sorry.
Kerosene and sugar.
What about it?
What is it?
Well, you had to cough, your mama would grab the kerosene jug and pour some sugar in and pour the kerosene on it and you ate it.
That was for cough a long time ago before they had a lot of medicine.
Yeah, yeah, that's for cough. They didn't have Hall's cough drops.
I know.
Yeah, I heard that. Oh, my God.
But the good Lord above. Protected us. They shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them.
That's right.
If you die protected, if you didn't die from the cough or the cold, you would die from the cure. That'd be the end of it.
Then this fits even the next part. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Huh?
As old as you are.
And then next sheet, we didn't finish that one. Go to next sheet.
Where are we?
Go to next one. Well, next sheet.
Things shall recover. Okay, Acts 2 and 4, we said that. That's where they speak in tongues.
Okay, we have Acts 2, 1 through 8.
Acts 2, 1 through 8. That was the Holy Spirit. They were speaking and the people was there was from different nations and they were speaking in their language so they could understand the Word of God that was being brought forth. Let me say something. I don't know if you remember when Oral Roberts had a tent down here on Lower Seminary Street down there at the service down there. That's been years ago, a long time. But anyway, the man that was working with Oral Roberts was back there speaking in other tongues. This other guy walked up and said, where's the Pope?
Where's the Pope?
The Pope? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was talking in that whatever language that Pope talked in.
Latin.
Whatever he's talking in. He was praying it.
Mm-hmm. My Lord.
And he said, I know good and well the Pope. You know, he speaks very fluently.
My God
don't do business bad. He does everything good.
Can I ask you a question? So when somebody speaks in their own tongue and they would just speak it fluently, but somebody, my understanding is that somebody has to understand it. Somebody has to speak it out loud to the other people. So is that something that it has to be done? Because it doesn't, to me, it doesn't make any sense for somebody to speak that language and nobody else understands what they're saying.
Let me clarify that. You can quietly, or you can go out loud with it. You're still speaking another tongue. And Thank goodness. Somebody's older than I am.
The Holy Spirit, give it to
me. I missed it somewhere.
Kathy, you want to take up that part where he's talking about that there's different, when you speak in tongues, there's different.
Oh, yeah.
You got
different
it,
areas.
You can
pray in tongues.
There you go.
And you can praise in tongues. Mm-hmm.
And sing in tongues.
What I was getting at for her, praising in tongues and praying in tongues don't have to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. What is it, 1 Corinthians 14:2? When a man speaks in tongues, other tongues, he's speaking to God. Mm-hmm. And he edifies himself. Mm-hmm. But we're speaking out to allow the congregation, it needs to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. So you can speak in tongues quietly, or you can speak in tongues loudly. You can pray in tongues, and you can praise in tongues. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have to be interpreted.
But see, also, I think also, too, if you look down below what we just read, it names the different cultures and people,
mm-hmm.
like Parthians, mm-hmm. and Medes, and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia. So when he was speaking in tongues, all these people understood because the tongues that he was speaking in was in the language of all these people.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, that was a miracle in itself.
So they just,
there are not all these Galileans.
Yeah, and
there might be Galileans.
And the tones that he was speaking in could have been a different tone for each different.
Right, player. Yes.
So it might, the tongues he was speaking in might not have been, wasn't just for one person. He would speak that person's in tongues, and then the next tongue might have been for the other person. So, that's what you got to realize.
That's how amazing God
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
The karma was amazing.
And then to elaborate, that's where I believe it was Paul that said to pray with your understanding and without it, because that language does come from Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, as Mr. Jordan was saying, that's not of any interpretation. So, it is from the wisdom of God, whether you are speaking out, and you'll know when we're in a service and all of a sudden somebody speaks out, you can almost sense it. You can feel it. It's different from when you are in what Holy Spirit has given you, your own prayer language. You can sense it and you can feel it. And I've always been under, I've always been under, don't know the word.
Teaching.
Yeah, but more than that, just that when I sense that and know that I know that that's where you have the gift of tongues. And then I will pray while that's going on. I have always prayed that the true interpretation will come forth.
And the interpretation should always come from the Word of God, not what somebody says. It should be from the Word of God.
Yes, and it will line up with the Word of God. Or at that moment, it will line up with the Word of God, but you don't see any evidence yet. That is where over years you've heard others, and I know from Kathy and I, you've heard you put it on a shelf. You don't try to make it happen.
That's right.
It will come forth. That word will come forth. That word might have been for that day. And it's something that God's going to do. And God's telling that body or telling somebody. And so you put it up on a shelf and you pray over that word because it will come forth. But that's some of the difference. But Paul said, I will pray with my understanding and I will pray in tongues. I will sing in my understanding and I will sing in tongues.
Right.
And then in Jude it says that you do that so it's for the edification. You build your own self up because it's a word, it's a language that God gave you. It's not necessarily your native language of Spanish and English. It can be something that sounds completely different. But it's what God gave you. So we're not even talking about natural languages necessarily that you hear in the earth. And then it can be. So anyway, we can get off all kind of rabbit trails that way. But that is one of the signs of Holy Spirit, is that you will speak with tongues.
God does it in his own time, like she was talking about. You know, he can put it on a shelf and everything. He does it when his time comes to be interpreted. You know, if we can't interpret, or somebody speaks in tongues and we get all hung up, we ain't interpreting. We're trying to do it in our timing.
I know that's not what you're saying, but I'm saying
people get frustrated because somebody speaks in tongues that they don't understand it, and they might not be the one that's supposed to interpret it.
Let me bring some clarity, and then Dean has something to say. Mm-hmm. Honey, you want to go before I say anything? You want to go next, and then I'll speak after him, then we're giving it back. Then it's going back to you, Dad. Go ahead, let's
keep in mind what the scripture says, as the Spirit gives utterance. So, therefore, if it's not for you to say, shut up.
And if it is
for you to say, you know, the Lord will lead you. But one thing we don't need to be is distracted on the gift. Let's be focused on the giver.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And I think this will bring clarity, Anna. If it's not, then you and I will discuss one-on-one, or we'll get with someone else in the body and discuss it. But yes, you are right. Things are supposed to be done in decency and order.
Yeah, we're going
to
cover that,
And a lot of things have not been done in decency and order in the church, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It doesn't mean the gift's not real. But yes, you are right on target. When there is an utterance in tongues in a congregation, there is supposed to be an interpretation.
Yes.
Because it does not edify the body for someone to stand up and speak in a tongue utterance and then not be interpreted in English. Mm-hmm. However, God is very merciful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the person is scared and they won't open their mouth and speak. They have the interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they're scared and they won't open their mouth and speak. So I believe God in all of his power. Like Carmen said, if you're praying when that tongue is going forth, if that person is not obedient and does not open their mouth and speak, I believe the Holy Spirit will teach everybody individually. If it is of God, I believe he'll begin to minister to you and tell you what was not spoken.
Yeah. Yes.
I just believe Holy Spirit is just that good, okay?
Yes.
Does that help, Anna?
Yeah, my question is, my problem is that sometimes it did happen before, and I've heard it, and I took it seriously, and I really wanted to know the meaning of what this person was saying.
Yes.
But then the person in charge, the pastor, whoever, is pressing everybody or somebody to do the interpretation, and it's a pressure for somebody to do it. If the person who actually spoke in tongue doesn't have the interpretation, somebody in the congregation is supposed to have it.
Yes.
But the pastor, where it presses on, you know, somebody has to, so that takes away from the whole
thing. Was it true? Was it not true?
But
I understand. That's absolutely correct. That's why we have to pray for one another and pray that the Holy Spirit will show us how he's using us. But you're right.
In the incidents of Acts chapter 2, though, remember, the people who spoke, they spoke. The people of other nationalities heard it in their language.
They heard him speak with the tongues that magnify God.
Yeah, I could speak in English. You would hear it in Spanish. You know, somebody from Greece would hear it in Greek.
Yes.
You know, somebody from Puerto Rico would hear it in Spanish.
So, like we do in Puerto Rico, we say, you know, that person is speaking Chinese to me because I don't understand what they're saying.
I have known people, friends of mine, who would go and they would speak the word of God to somebody. And somebody who was from another country would say they heard what they said in their native language, and what they heard was spoken purely, succinctly, and just like they grew up knowing that language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This man shouted hallelujah one time with a loud voice. This other guy says, "You don't have to holler like that. God's not deaf." He says he's not nervous either.
He's not nervous, that's right. He's not bashful either. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Back on track, sir.
Okay, does someone have Acts 10:44-46? And this is the main purpose of speaking in tongues.
Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God.
Yes, praising God. Okay, Acts 19, 1 through 6.
You reading out the Amplified Bible, or?
No, sir, this is the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Carmen has the Amplified. You want that read in the Amplified?
No, I was just talking about the regular English Bible.
King James Version.
Okay, you want someone else to reread that in the
King James? No.
Okay.
Making sure they got it. I like to have one of the Bibles with translated both sides. I'm gonna get me one of them.
Okay, he's got a birthday coming up. Okay.
The parallel Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. He said Acts 19.
1 through 6.
It's right there in your notes, ma'am, on number 6. It's okay. 19:1-6.
And it came to pass that while Apollo and Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. He had said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto Peter, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had said his name upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
When Paul laid his hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, now Acts 1 and 8.
And he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen. That was one of the most important part.
Go ahead.
That you have the power to witness.
Amen. Amen.
They spake with tongues and prophesied. That was initial evidence of the tongues was not the only evidence, but the power to witness was one of the main evidence, the power to witness.
There's another evidence, too.
Yes,
they look like a bunch of drunks.
Right. We're going to get to that. Okay. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 39 through 40.
I want to comment on what Dad just said about not everybody, people understand how Holy Spirit moves on people. It would be very wise if you don't understand how Holy Spirit's moving on someone, maybe you've never seen the Holy Spirit move on that person that way, just to say, Lord, I don't understand how you're moving on them, but do not be critical of how God's moving, because just like in the book of Acts, they thought they were drunk. And they said, no, we're not drunk as you suppose. You know, this is only what hour. I don't know what hour it was. This is on the
suppose
night.
Suppose they were drunk, but not as a suppose.
No, that's right.
Not what they thought. They thought like a drunk man going down the road with his bottle in his back pocket, and a car hit him. He felt something running down his leg. He said, oh, God, I hope it's blood.
Okay, someone's
let
hurt.
Let it not be his liquor. Now, that was drunk. Not like, I was really drunk.
That's right.
Paul said they're drunk, were not like you suppose. Like that man with a liquor bottle.
He'd rather be
drunk, but not like you suppose. Not in the way you can drunk on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because anyone ever been drunk on the influence of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah.
That you couldn't even walk and you staggered after some services? Yes, when the power of the Lord is so strong and full, people just begin to laugh. You know, like some people do when they become intoxicated, they just laugh a lot, you know, and they stagger, like I always say, who's the designated driver? Who's going to take so-and-so home because they can't make it home? So that is, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit to come. What human body can contain the power of God without some kind of evidence in your physical body, right?
Yeah.
Dad, you got a comment about that?
Well,
have we already read 1 Corinthians 14?
No, we haven't.
Okay,
yet.
Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 through 40. And this is your comments right here.
Okay.
Don't
worry about that.
It's goes back to what Dean was saying. Mm-hmm. So my brothers earnestly desire to prophecy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things shall be done decently and in order.
Mm-hmm. That simply means you want to stand and keep your mouth shut.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, number 8, Holy Spirit of God, Genesis 2, 21 through 24.
Mama Vertel, we haven't heard from you yet. Would you like to read that for us?
21?
Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24.
I have a different living Bible.
That's good. It's alive.
It's the word.
21?
Yes, ma'am. Through 24.
Then the Lord God caused the man to fall deep into a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and closed up the place from which he had removed it, and made the rib into a woman, and brought her to the man. "This is it," Adam exclaimed. "She is part of my own bone, flesh. Her name is woman, because she was taken out of man. This explains why a man leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife in such a way that the two become one person."
Okay, this is your comment right here.
Where?
Right there.
She read
She's
that
already
there?
Read that, yes. Okay. God reached into the
bleeding. God reached into the bleeding side of Adam and pulled out his bride.
Adam's bride.
God also reached into the bleeding side of his son and pulled out the bride of Christ.
Glory to God.
Okay, let's read John 19, 31 through 37.
Hey, when he did that pull right there, I got it. He fooled me too.
That's right. It's for all of us. All, and yet those yet to be born.
John 19, 31 through 37. And then the next one someone wants to be looking it up is 1 John 5, 1 through 11.
"The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he said true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture said, they shall look on him whom they pierced."
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Oh, he thought he was really doing something when he threw that spear into the side of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, he thought he was really doing something. Mm-hmm. But what he really did, he opened up a fountain in the house of David for sin and uncleanness.
Glory to God.
Woo! I feel him.
Glory to God. The enemy thought he was doing one more jab. Yeah. He always overplays his hand. But what he really did was cause the church to come forth.
That's right.
My God.
My God, my God.
God turned the tables on him.
When he did it, God was laughing at the enemy. Sitting there laughing.
Hey, did you know how much Jesus loved you?
And me.
Mm-hmm. You do, you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here.
This much.
Stretched out his hands.
That much.
Amen.
Okay, 1 John 5, 1 through 11.
"Whosoever believeth in Jesus, in the Christ, born, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also, and that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that breatheth witnesses, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record of God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to the eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Praise God.
All right, now let's go to the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. We have John 14:16.
The word Comforter is derived from a Greek word meaning paraclete. One called alongside the help. Not only called alongside the help, called inside the help.
Glory to God. Amen. Inside to help.
One called inside of us to do through us what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
I wrote that down somewhere, but she said it.
Say it again.
Say it again. Paraclete is one called inside of us to do through us what Jesus did for us.
The Paraclete is one called
inside of us
to do through us
what Jesus did for us.
Whew, that is good.
Yeah. You didn't even have to speak in tongues. Your thought of it.
Well, you know what a thought is?
Yeah.
What is a thought?
Huh?
What is a thought?
A thought is your brain, God.
No, it's a capsule for a word.
Okay. But I'm saying you didn't have to speak in tongues, and she already interpreted it through the thought.
You better be glad that it's a capsule for a word, because when the capsule starts to go the wrong way, you say, hit it. Knock it the other way. Get out.
That's right.
I'll say that a minute time. It comes on. I said,
get out.
Devil, I plead the blood of Jesus. Get out.
Amen.
You know, if we're covered with the blood of Jesus, Satan can't touch us.
That's why it's
important to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Not just daily. Here, there, and yonder, but all the time.
Somewhere in the Bible it says let every thought be brought into captivity of Jesus Christ.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yeah. Hey.
He also, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts.
That's right. Your way is not my way.
Yeah, your way is not my way.
He said, but I will cast away your sins and put them in the sea of forgiveness.
That's right.
And hang up a sign saying no fishing.
Hallelujah.
So he doesn't remember our sins. We shouldn't remember them. Don't let Satan bring them back into your mind. You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven.
Yes.
Okay. Comforter, Holy Spirit, we need John 14:16, Mark 16:17, John 14:26, and John 14:23.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you.
Let me say something now.
Sure.
I was in the hospital. I was just a toddler. And I had pneumonia in the hospital. My dad, when they come to me, they give me toys, and I was so happy. Mm. They were my comfort. And when they left, I cried and I cried. I can remember it. I cried and I cried and I cried. But on November the 11th, 1949, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. He's never left me. He's never left me. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The Father will give you another comforter, one to call alongside to comfort you, and then three, another one, just the Holy Spirit is a comforter just like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mark 16:17.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with tongues. Oh, excuse me. 16:17.
Yeah.
That's
just what it was. Okay, the 14th chapter of John, verse 26 and verse 23.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance.
Just like Jesus, he would cast out devils, teach us all things. It means everything brings things into your remembrance. He will motivate you. Have you ever lost something and you prayed, Father, help me to find it, and he would direct you to it?
Absolutely.
He gave me a ring for our 50th wedding anniversary. And I was working in
wait
the yard.
A minute. Tell her what kind of ring it was. It's a 3-point diamond ring. One for the past, I loved her in the past, one for the present, and one for the future.
Wow. Glory. Did you get that, honey?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Well, let
her tell you.
Yeah. I was in the yard, and usually I wear gloves when I'm working in the yard, but that day I went out just to do something simple, and first thing I knew, you know, you ladies know this, you go outside and then you find five other things you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got busy and I was just working around in the soil and just going around. And that night when I started to take my shower, my ring was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried and I cried and
yeah,
I cried.
That's it.
And he said, stop crying, I'll buy you another one. I said, no. I said, that ring had special meaning to me, and I'm going to find that ring. And I kept praying all night, Lord, help me find that ring. Help me find that ring. I emptied all the trash out. Went through all the trash. No ring. Holy Spirit said, go back to where you was working, out there in the front yard. And I went out there. In the flower pot where I transplanted a plant, that ring was standing right straight up like that.
It was shining.
Everybody sure you saw it.
Yes. Just lose something. Pray. Find it.
He will reveal all things. Carolyn, yeah. Mom, Carolyn has a thought on that.
Okay, Carolyn.
Okay, now here's my thing. I have dogs living next door to me, and they go to barking. And I pray, and I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, please stop the dogs from barking so I can get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I slept the whole night. I'm telling y'all, it works.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
So does the talkage.
Amen.
Okay, I think you want to read this one. John 14:23, I think he wants to read this one right here.
Okay.
I want to read that. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and live in him. make our abode with him. Abode means he's coming to live. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And I want him to live comfortably in me. That means I don't want to do anything that would displease him. I want him to feel at home. He's not coming as a guest. I'm going to stay permanently.
Yeah.
All the time. Forever and ever. Never leave me. Hallelujah. Here's a scripture. Let your conversation be not filled with covetousness. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Woo! Somebody has a little talk. Get out.
Okay. That's okay. No.
He's a pearl of the house member.
Okay, now we're going to go in about the Holy Spirit and Simon Peter. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 4.
This is good. Praise the Lord.
Simon Peter didn't know what to say, so he said it.
Okay, someone have that? Can read that for us? I love these telephones where you can go on the internet and push in the scripture. That is wonderful.
My mom has exceeded me in her electronic capacity and her desires. Matthew 17, do you want to read it, Anna?
I'll try.
Yes, ma'am. 1 through 4.
17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.
Go ahead, the next verse.
He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.
Now, what about Moses and Elijah? He said, here's the one you listen to.
My God. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we'll go to B, the day of Pentecost. Okay, if we turn to Acts 2. Acts 2,
1.
We've touched on that a little bit already, but we'll go and read it anyway.
I think that's 1 and 8. Is that right, Mom?
Acts
2,
verse 1, and then Acts 2, verse 8.
Okay, I thought it was an
end.
Jose, you
want to
read for us?
When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place.
Okay, in Acts 2, 8.
And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?
Yeah, we had already touched a little on that. Okay, the Acts 2, 12 through 21. I think we touched a little bit on that too.
And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and the magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Mm. Do you notice this is not Simon Peter warming himself by the fire?
That's right.
A different fire had come inside of him, and he had authority. Yes.
That's right. He spoke with boldness.
Yes.
He was God's witness.
Yes.
Just like you said Holy Spirit would do, he makes us a witness.
All right, Acts 5:29.
But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Mm-hmm.
And we've had this in the news all this week, haven't we?
Amen. That lady in Kentucky, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That does not mean you don't obey authority.
Yeah.
It comes down between God and what man tells you to do. You should obey
God.
Is that right? Is that what
right.
You're
obey God. Obey God, yes.
God's law trumps any other law.
That's right.
What man's law comes
with. I tell you one thing, that judge that made the order, he's going to face the real judge one of these days.
I told you about that. There's only one lawgiver.
Yeah.
And what are you speaking of, Dad?
Well, same-sex marriage. Woman refused to... and the judge had her throw in jail.
Yeah.
That was in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Correct. And she refused.
And she's a born again Christian. She's a child of God, or she wouldn't step aside like she has.
Well, that's why, because all this going on about you got this right and you got that right and you got this and that. That's why James said there's only one lawgiver. It don't matter what kind of law we come up with, what we think is right, you know, as far as First Amendment and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's what God's law says.
That's right.
That's the only one that's going to last.
Yeah, gays can compute, not produce.
Okay, Acts.
So when you're a Christian, and you're standing up for God, that's the only law. There's nobody going to do what anybody else.
So we have a responsibility as her brothers and sisters in Christ
to pray for her.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
She set a precedent, and something's happened in the spirit realm because she stood up.
That's right.
We need to pray for her. What is her name?
Oh, what is the name? It's very simple. Kim
Davis. Look there, she woke up.
It's Davis is the last name.
Kim Davis.
It's Kim or Kay. It's very simple.
Kate Davis, I think it's Kate.
Kate Davis or Miss Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've already had people, you know, other believers go in front of the courthouse and everything. Yeah.
Amen. And we can pray for her.
Kind of a demonstration of or support.
Acts 10:13-15.
There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not you common."
Did you want to comment on that?
Well, God has cleansed.
But you know what I do see good in that? Not to the negative.
She read it.
Is that for all of us, it is that within God, we do go with what we know from God.
That's right.
And if God, if there's a correction there, a teaching, an understanding that we don't know, then we go with it. Mm-hmm. He went with what he knew with God up to that moment.
That's right.
He was right in what he said. I've never, according to the law,
right? Mm-hmm.
According to the law, what I grew up in, what I know in,
that's right.
What I know to be truth, what I've been taught in the temple, what my parents taught me, I am not supposed to eat or do with this uncleanliness.
Right.
But then God said, but now, because of my son, mm-hmm. what my son has done, it's now clean. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, so let's Amen. Not always look at mm-hmm. this particular passage yeah. and event with him as being negative.
Right.
There's
right.
a good to that.
That's right.
Go with God. That's why we like to say, where I am right now, this is what I know.
That's right.
But I'm teachable. Mm-hmm. When God will show me, then I'll move on with that.
That's right.
So let's Amen. Not look at this scripture all the time in a negative tone.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Okay, let's read. This will explain it some more also. Acts 10, 5 through 6. This is a story about when the Lord gave Peter a vision. About someone who needed to hear the word of God. Well, he knew the word of God, but needed to explain more fully to him. Acts 10, 5, 6.
And now sent men to Joppa and called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to command.
Okay, Acts 10, 17 through 20.
While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out and asked if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there.
Okay.
While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.
Let me say this. God said, Cornelius, go to Joppa. And find one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He dwells with one Simon that deals in leather. Mm-hmm. He's a tanner. A tanner deals in leather. He lives by the seaside. Let me ask you that. Thanks for reading that. Do you know where God? Does God know where you live?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Okay, Acts.
Wow.
Okay, you already read Acts, the three men outside waiting for him. Okay, Acts 11, chapter 11, verse 11 through 12.
And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Mm-hmm. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house.
Okay, Acts 11, 11 through 12.
You read that, Mom? Acts 10?
No, Acts 11.
Acts 11.
That's what I just read.
11 through 12?
Yes,
that's what she just read, yeah.
How many men did Peter carry down with him?
Six.
Did it tell him that how many men that Peter carried down with him?
Six.
Three men. Three men was at the gate.
Yeah, carried six.
But six brothers went with him.
Yeah, six. Hey, do you know why he carried six down there?
No.
Well, let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
This was a Jew going down to a Gentile to pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost, and Jews had no dealings with Gentiles. Okay. And Peter knew that he was going to be called on the carpet. Since he was a Jew going down visiting the Gentiles, he carried six brethren with him to back him up when they got to court.
I'm sorry, I must have been talking to him when they read that. I didn't hear that. Okay. Acts 10, 44 through 46.
While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter.
Okay, you want to comment on that?
What was that?
I hit this part right here.
Peter carried six men. I don't said that.
Okay, and while Peter
was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them.
And they spoke with tongues and magnified.
And they spoke with tongues and magnified God. She read that?
Yes.
That's good.
Okay, now we're going to the scripture about Paul.
Can I say something just?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you were speaking to me, and I want to ask you to elaborate on that, on the preciseness of how Holy Spirit spoke to, concerning Cornelius. Go back to that. Where was that? In Acts what? What chapter? Help me, church. Where was that? Oh, here it is. It's Acts 10, verse 19. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzled over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come to looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation, and don't worry, for I have sent them. I just wanted you to, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
But then the voice again spoke. Okay, we read that about being unclean. Verse 17, Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision be? Just then the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzled over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up. Just look at the precision there. Will you elaborate that on that, Dad, how Holy Spirit speaks so clearly? He told him exactly how many men. He told him exactly what to do. Would you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, it's simple. God knows all things, and he explained it to him. Send down the Joppas for Simon Peter. Is that one you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes. That's part of it, yes.
Cornelius was a Gentile, and Simon Peter was a Jew. And when God got through to Simon Peter, said, do not call that which is I have cleansed common. Then Peter decided he would obey God. So he sent the Joppa.
And he sent the Joppa.
One Simon, whose surname was Peter, who lodges with Simon. There's a man dealing with leather, and he lives by the seaside. Joppa, Simon Peter, a tanner, lives by the seaside. Does God know where you live?
Right.
That's the point I'm bringing out. Look at the precision of the directions.
There you go. That's it. That's what I want you to elaborate on.
And Simon Peter was afraid when he received this vision. And how many times God sent give him the vision?
Three times.
Three times God gave him the vision and told him, Cornelius, in so many words, Cornelius is a saved person. He's my man. He's my man, you know. But he doesn't fully understand the scriptures.
And it's also
doubting, too, because, I mean, he tells, you know, you're not supposed to doubt God. So, and he tells him right here, he says, wow. He says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing.
Yeah. And see, Peter was up on the housetop by himself.
What was he doing up there?
So if he believes God, God's telling him, go down doubting nothing, because I've sinned. You know, so.
Simon was up on the housetop.
Praise.
What was he doing?
Yeah.
He was praying.
He was praying.
Yeah, yeah, praying.
He'd been fasting.
He was also waiting for them to make breakfast downstairs.
But what I want you to elaborate on, Dad, and all this is to everyone saying is the precision of Holy Spirit. We can hear him so clearly. He said, get up, go to Joppa. There's a tanner there that lives by the seaside. You see the precision. That's what I wanted you to elaborate on.
Yeah.
The precision of Holy Spirit, how he can speak and give you exact details about what you need to do.
We explained that. She explained that a while ago. And the Holy Spirit led her to that flower pot, and she opened it up, and that diamond ring was shining like a new penny.
So you're saying that
a new diamond.
Yeah, we can expect that today. We can expect Holy Spirit to speak to us that clearly today, right?
Yeah, show us things to come.
And sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and it just kind of flies over our head. That's why we need to have time with God every day.
Amen.
Stay in the Word and pray every day, and be still. And let God, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And speak to you. Because he will speak to you.
Yes.
He will. He will speak to you.
Let me tell you one more thing. If you want to know something about the Holy Spirit, I don't know of any chapter in the Bible that would help you any more than the 14th chapter of John. You need to read the 14th chapter of John, and then when you think you read it, read it again, and when you think you read it again, read it again, and read it again. And our minds are so little, the infinite God will give you little nuggets, a handful on purpose every
That's
now and
right.
then. And then you'll start getting it.
How many of you have ever read the Bible through? The
14th chapter.
Okay, you know that you can read the Bible through, and then maybe the second, third, fourth, fifth time you start back again, have you ever come across a verse and it would just pop out at you?
Yes.
It would pop out.
No,
so it'll
pop in you.
Right. Well, I mean, it'll pop off the written, out of the written word into you. Into you. And you would think, I read that,
yes.
you know, I read the Bible through four or five times, and you know, this verse
yes.
didn't. But at that moment, the Holy Spirit
That's right.
would open it up to you so that your little mind could understand it.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, okay. sister, you had your hand up.
Go back to the first part of Acts 10.
Acts 10.
Cornelius was doing something to get the Holy Spirit to dodge.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to take it away from you, honey, but go ahead.
Yeah.
What did you take away?
You see, stop.
10:1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that fear God.
Mm.
Fear God first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With all his house,
mm-hmm.
which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
Mm-hmm.
He saw an vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your
Ooh,
alms.
Oh, prayers and your alms. Yes, yes.
A memorial before God.
Yes.
Cornelius was doing this, and he didn't know what he was doing, but he was doing it. Because he believed in the God that...
He feared God.
Yeah, he feared God. He believed in that God. And when he got clarity, Holy Spirit was sending.
The Holy Spirit was upon Simon Peter, and Simon
mm-hmm.
Peter was praying.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was the Holy Spirit working in Simon Peter, he was working in Cornelius.
Yes.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Can I say something, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to read a scripture pertaining to what the Lord is trying to tell people.
Okay.
Okay. In 1 Timothy 4 and the 4th verse, 4th and 5th, the Lord is saying, for every creature of God is good,
mm-hmm.
and nothing to be refused.
Mm-hmm.
If we be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Lord was trying to tell Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Although Cornelius wasn't a Jew, and Peter was a Jew, and the Jew in those days never eat from the Gentile, never
right.
mix with the Gentile.
Right.
The Lord was showing him that we are all God's creatures and everything is good. Right.
What?
We are not common, we are God, God's creature. And everything that he sent him to do is good by prayer, and he must receive it.
Amen.
And don't you think, God gave me the thought in my head. Because, you know, he tells you in the scriptures, he said, test all spirits.
Yes, he did.
Right.
So, you know, do you think Peter might have been testing to make sure it was, you know, he wasn't doubting, he was just testing to make sure, because God tells us to test the spirits, because, you know, they can come as fake.
Right, right.
You know, so. God kind of told me that. Maybe he was just testing their spirits, like
God tells them to do. Test the spirit, make sure it is of God. Yes, make sure it is of God. Yes, yes.
Can I say something? Because I was a little confused it's back on Acts 10, 13, 15. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are they talking about eating and all that? I know he got hungry, Pedro. Got hungry and Peter. I said in Spanish. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I hope you understood.
We interpreted it.
Peter got hungry, and I had to go back to my Spanish version because I couldn't quite understand it in the English version. So he received this vision from God, and there was like the animals on this
piece of that sheet
or something, and he said that he would not eat from there, that it was unclean. So he would not eat, and he refused three times. So that was a vision, not necessarily literally for him to go eat that kind of animals. Actually, I think what it was, God was giving him a vision of the people that was coming to that was coming to go with him.
Yes.
That he thought they might not be clean, they were not be good people.
Right.
But God said yes, they were clean. It was okay for him to go with them. Mm-hmm. So it's like I didn't quite understand why he was saying you have to kill and eat and all that, and it's not what it was. Actually, it was
they're
something totally
people.
Different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You got it.
Woo! Glory to God. But I had to go back to the Spanish version, which I think is better.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it.
That
Amen.
Is it.
Absolutely.
Right on. Right on.
I started to say that a while ago, and someone else said something.
I
don't mean to be taken away from him, but I get so full sometimes it has to come out.
Yes. Amen. We're all here to share and to learn. Amen.
Now I learned something.
That's beautiful.
Good. That was the purpose of today. That was the purpose. Okay, we're down here on Paul now. I don't know what time it is.
Go ahead. Keep on going. You're on Paul now. This is, keep on going.
That's Acts 19 and 2.
Yeah, Acts 19 and 2. This is about Paul.
Ready for someone to read.
He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
Mm.
Okay, that's sure. Okay, what do you want to say about that? Do you want to comment on that?
Have you received the Holy Ghost?
19:2. Have you received the Holy Ghost? We know.
You receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody does if he's saved.
Yes.
You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. And God, there's three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they work together. Of course, you know that. But you cannot receive. You can receive the Holy Spirit as being saved.
Right.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Well, a lot of people think that's all it is to it, but you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues and the Spirit of God give utterance. But speaking in tongues is not the only evidence that you've got it. You got power to witness. He said, when the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:8, I think it was 1:8, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he will give you power to witness unto me in Jerusalem, home, Judea, my neighbor,
mm-hmm.
Samaria, the outcast,
mm-hmm.
and then to the othermost parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
And that's just like Kate, the lady in Kentucky. When they were up there, they were questioning her, saying, by what power do you...
They said, by what authority?
What authority do you not want to give us license? She said, by God's authority. She said, by God's authority, I refuse.
She went to jail, and her husband said, how long is she going to stay in jail? He said, as long as it takes.
God's authority. That's why when you believe, and somebody asks you, by what authority do you do? God's authority. That's the only authority there is. It's like I read in Romans.
I tell you one thing, that judge is not the only judge. There's a higher authority.
Also, there's been so much negative news on. And I believe with all my soul, mind, and body that this has happened. So a lot of Christians will view in on this and get their mind off some of these other things that's going on. And view in on this and pray.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're living in the end times, whether you not realize or not. We're living in the end of time.
We are.
We really are.
Yes.
Because the Bible is being fulfilled right in front of us. It's being right in front of us. So if we're not ready, we better get ready. I mean, get ready fast, too. Mm-hmm. And we need to be praying for our children, our offsprings, and not only just our children that we can see, you know, that's here with us, but our future generations. God, look. When I was growing up, Sunday school was one of the most important things in our life. Sunday school, children were taught the Word of God. Amen. Now, few churches have Sunday school. Very few have Sunday school. And our children are not being taught the Word of God. And they're certainly not going to be taught in the public school.
No.
And when I was teaching school, there was a little controversy about the Bible. You weren't supposed to have the Bible in your classroom. My principal gave me a Bible. You know what I did with that Bible?
Amen.
I put it on my desk.
Amen.
Now, I know one teacher, a Holy Ghost filled teacher that teaches the Word of God in school.
What's that? Who's that?
Frank.
Yes, my brother Frank.
Yes. My son, Frank.
Yes, your son, yes.
He gives them the Word of God.
Amen.
He don't care whether a principal likes it or not, he gives them the Word of God.
He teaches history and it brings all in about the Word.
Mm-hmm. Creation.
Did we read that scripture, we must obey God rather than man?
That's correct, we did. That's right. Mm-hmm. I'd rather obey God than the authority of man.
And see, one thing I heard, Pastor, that one thing that I think is not, and I don't mean to criticize, but churches don't do it hardly anymore. I know when I was younger, I used to hear it all the time. We preach about, and it's wonderful, you know, we preach about love and mercy and grace and all that. And, I mean, nothing can take the place of those. But very few churches nowadays preach on judgment. You know, that God tells you if you don't do what I asked you to do, this is what you go get. And there's very few churches that preach on that anymore. And not saying that, you know, the grace and mercy and all like that, we need that. We got to have it. But people also got to realize, you know, God says in the Bible, even, you know, if you don't believe, you know, sometimes you have to preach to people. To people with hellfire and brimstone. This is what you go get. You know, if you don't believe God, you're going to hell. You know, this is what you go get. You have a choice. And I think we've gotten away from judgment. Telling people, you know, letting people know what's going to happen if you don't. You know, and I'm not trying to be, how can you say, I'm not trying to throw judgment or condemn people, but being critical, but I know when I was growing up, people, you know, that's what people preached. You know, you believe in God or, you know, well, this is the consequences you're going to get.
That's right. And I really believe, too, that the time is so short that God is really putting into ministers, opening up their understanding more than ever, and He is condemning them over what they have not been preaching, and they are bringing forth that word. I've seen that in the church that we've been attending, that, you know, the ministry has not been preaching a lot of things, but now he's really getting right down to the nitty gritty of it. He's giving it the word. And I had never in my life seen this in a Baptist church until I've seen it recently at Shannon. That the minister would say, "We welcome you to come up before he ministers, come up to the altar and pray." And we have ministers and other Christians here to pray with you, to pray with you. And they have a time of prayer. And then they go back. Everything's done decently in order. And they go back to their seats. And then the word of God is brought forth. Mm-hmm. You know, so God is moving. He's moving.
Oh, yes.
He is moving. And he's opening up the minds of ministers and teachers. And they're teaching the word of God like never before. So,
I've seen her in other churches too, not just the Baptist. I've seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
absolutely.
They're coming and saying, you know, this is what God says. You need to do it.
Well, right. There is one God, there is one Savior, and there is one Spirit. If we belong to Him, we're going to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If you don't know where you worship, you're going to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit because He's the one that's going to prepare us. Who is preparing us to leave this earth. So you have to embrace Him. You won't leave this earth in the rapture without Him.
Right.
So you will embrace Him. Daddy or Mom, do y'all have any closing comments before we...
Yeah. Well, you start traveling east and keep going east till you run to west.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep running in the west and you're running back to east. You wouldn't even be covered the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
No way you could do it. No way.
Amen.
His love is far beyond our comprehension.
Mm.
His love.
The love that makes us want to repent.
Loves you this much.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
He died for me.
Amen.
One thing I want to make sure that Jesus can do, live comfortably in me.
Mm.
So we don't have to squirm and
move furniture.
Yeah,
there you
move
go.
Furniture. Yeah, move furniture. That's true.
You know what moving furniture is? Getting out of bitterness, the forgiveness, the hatred.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He'll remove your furniture. Yes, he will.
Well, you know, he says love conquers all because he said if you hate your brother, how can you love him?
Well, it's stronger than death. The Bible says love is stronger than death.
You can't have hate and love in your heart at the same time.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
Well, I hope every one of you have enjoyed these little sermonettes I've been giving you. I just praise God that I'm still kicking.
Amen.
I'll be 89 October 6th. Wow. Good Lord, let me live.
Glory to God.
You can take your shoes off sometime when you kick, don't you?
Take my shoes off, I wear shoes that you don't have to string up, button up. I wear them and you slip them on.
Slip on.
I see the Holy Ghost, they did so much stupid talk about me around Denso, South Carolina. I told her so before, I said, I thought I'd give them something to talk about. I know they're talking about all about it. I said, man, I bought me a new pair of shoes, and I walked backwards a mile just to see my track.
After he received the Holy Spirit, there was so much talk about him, just like in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
When they received the Holy Spirit, they thought they were intoxicated.
Amen.
Kathy, I have something I want to share, and then I'll be
going. Go ahead. That's fine. That's good.
This is for all of you, okay? Father, I covenant with you to be what you said that I am.
Amen.
Even though I don't look like it, I may not act like it, I may not feel like it, but you said I was saved, healed, and blessed, so I'm saved, healed, and blessed.
Amen.
I have overcome. I've overcome the enemy because the greater one is in me. My faith is a victory that overcomes the world, and it comes by the word of God. So I rejoice. I won't weep in despair. I won't wring my hands and weep in prayer. But I'll come boldly to the throne of grace with rejoicing my petition to bear. I'll enter into the new way and I'll speak the things that you say. And I'll walk in victory and I'll praise your name. From this day I'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's Charles Capps.
Amen.
That's one of Capps' capsules.
Yeah.
Glory to God.